Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 12th day of March, 2020. And if you had a European vacation planned for the near future, you might want to sit down for this one. We got a lot of ground to cover, lots of things to talk about. Editorial note, okay? And, well, housekeeping first. I'm going to postpone the drawing for the books from Matt Walsh until next Friday. A lot of people are still entering, and I don't have an author. I don't actually have an interview set up yet for this week. I'm working on one. So it's hard to get people. People are not going out as much. So we'll just continue that next week. So you've got another 7 days or so to enter to win one of two signed copies of the book Church of Cowards. So there's that. Another editorial note. This program will likely be, I haven't recorded it yet, so I'm just saying, will likely be profanity laced. If that is not your cup of tea, you might want to skip this episode. I'm just saying, these people are driving me nuts, and there will be F-bombs because they will be used as exclamation points. They well deserve to be. So you have been warned. There. Now, starting now, I can fucking swear. Because these people are fucking insane. They really are evil. I've never seen anybody root against this country so desperately, so thoroughly. Oh, yeah, every once in a while they slip back the veil and let it out. But my God, these people are insane. And they're evil. Let's just put it out there as what it is. They're evil. They are absolutely evil. So we'll get to all of that. The coronavirus news, the president's address, the reaction to it, which is where the F-bombs are really going to come in. And everything else, the NBA canceling or postponing their season, who knows? The jackass player who joked and wiped his hands all over the microphones at a press conference 2 days ago and then tested positive for coronavirus today or yesterday. Because why? Because everybody's just an asshole. Just don't. There's a simple rule of thumb. It's the golden rule that can be summed up much easier. Don't be an asshole. Problem. Most of life's problems will be solved if you just live by that rule. So we'll get into all that and more. But first, let's talk about one of our sponsors today. Of course, I'm talking about CBD oil from ancientlifeoil.com. Look, if you got the aches and pains and the stress and the problems sleeping and you're wondering what you do and you don't want to go to the pharmacy and take a bunch of drugs, you know, you think there's nothing you can do, you just got to grin and bear it. Well, that's where CBD oil comes in. And ancientlifeoil.com has the purest CBD oil, the best CBD oil available, 100% organic. It's not that gas station swill that they just slap. Who is that? What is that? Is that motor oil? You don't know. Well, Ancient Life Oil has the best CBD oil available on the market. I take it. Chocolate mint is my flavor, but the cinnamon is pretty tasty as well. I've had them both. I actually still have them both, but I prefer the chocolate mint. But whatever floats your boat. Go to ancientlifeoil.com. Check out the array of products they have available. Do some research on your own. See what people are saying about this stuff. Don't take my word for it. Don't take their word for it. Get your own word. Ask some friends. I bet you know people who are taking CBD oil. Take it, listen to them, and then when you decide to give it a shot, go to ancientlifeoil.com, enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, and you get great discounts. You help the show. You help the sponsors who help the show. It is a win-win-win situation, and we will all appreciate you for it, and you'll appreciate what CBD oil does for you. All right, thank you. Let's get on with these knuckle fuckers out there. The president, I told you, this is going to, I'm not even going to hold back. today. So you've been warned. And don't send me the emails. I guess you can send me the emails. You really didn't have to swear all that much. I know I didn't have to, but I want to. I've been holding this in for a long time. And fuck these people. So let's get into it. The President of the United States gave a primetime Oval Office address to lay out his response to coronavirus. He proposed things like tax cuts and delaying the April 15th deadline for tax filing for some people affected by it. That's all well and good. And Democrats, of course, immediately pronounced it not good enough, unacceptable, doesn't go far enough. It's a payoff to all their standard bullshit. These people don't have an original thought in their head. They haven't had an original thought since like 1982, maybe 1981, the second Ronald Reagan's hand lifted off that Bible. All of these morons just started spewing the same garbage no matter what is going on. The Republicans favor the rich. Why, the Republicans favor the rich. The Republicans favor the rich. Doesn't matter what they do. It's just, this is Pavlovian. It's a sign of mental deficiency that you cannot adapt to the situation at hand, that you cannot respond to what is really going on. You respond to what you wish was going on or what you want people to believe is going on. It is evil. It is downright sick. So these little pieces of shit are pushing a package that involves a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of social justice warrior bullshit that they've been pushing forever. It's kind of convenient. It's just like the climate change hoax. Oh, we need to mandate this, and we need to ban that, and we need to tax this and tax that and regulate this and tax to cover the cost of the regulations and blah, blah, blah. Whack, when it was global cooling, then it became global warming, and they said, oh, shit. Oh, well, same stuff. It's just a different problem. 180-degree problem change. Zero change in the solution. And then they just went to the catch-all climate change because the planet's coming to an end and we need to do this and do that and do the other thing. It's just a convenient delivery device. It's opportunism at its worst. There's always opportunism in politics. It's usually not so naked. This time, it's completely naked. The House of Representatives is pushing paid sick leave and mandated health care and everything under the sun that they have been advocating for decades. They are living under, they don't believe this shit. This is what's, they are pushing the delusion. They're not living under the delusion. They're pushing the delusion that this will somehow stop the virus. You've got people out there who are bitching, we need more tests. I can't get tested. I want to be tested. I need to be tested. Ben fucking Shapiro today. Well, when are these tests going to be widely available? Well, Ben, are you sick? Do you need to be tested or do you want to be tested? Because I tell you what, if you're not sick, you can go get tested and it comes back negative. Guess what? You could contract it at the doctor's office while awaiting a test. You could get it on your way home if you stop and start licking lampposts. You could get it the next day. You don't need to be tested unless you're exhibiting symptoms. And then, really, unless you're really sick and in a problem category, meaning elderly, meaning somebody with pre-existing conditions, high blood pressure, respiratory problems, knowing would be interesting. But it cannot change the prescribed course of action after that. Because you know what? We don't have a cure for a fucking virus. There's nothing that can be done. There's no secret pill out there for cool people when they get coronavirus. Well, here you go. I wasn't going to give this to that guy down the hallway because he's just an accountant. But now that I know that you're super cool and internet famous, here's the pill for you. Okay, and besides, your wife's a fucking doctor. You talk about it nonstop. You should be able to have this information at your fingertips, one would think. The general stupidity and opportunism that is manifesting itself throughout this entire mess is why we're in about half of this mess. Couple that with liberals wanting to score points for the election, and never Trumpers and sometimes Trumpers wanting to hedge their bets to be down on either side of whatever issue happens to settle out, however this happens to play out. Right now, the conventional wisdom amongst the never and mostly never Trumpers is that Trump is going to screw this up. And like as if he's, you know, running out the tests, he's out there manufacturing tests and somehow he's going to forget a key ingredient. The conventional wisdom is that Trump is going to screw this up and he's going to lose because, I mean, the election's more than 200 days away. Nothing impacts an election 200 days away, but still, they're convinced that Trump is going to screw this up because everything in life now is immediate. And they want to be able to say that they are on the right side of history, that they are out there making sure that they have registered their discontent, their displeasure with the president and his response. So in case it does come to fruition, if all these MSNBC spank bank liberal fever dreams come to fruition, they will be standing on the ash heap of conservatism saying, see, I told you so. I should be the new anointed people. We should be the new anointed people. There should only be two publications in the world, and both of them should be National Review, and everything else, all other websites should bow before our feet. Fuck you. You're not special. You're an opportunist just like them. The answers are out there. For somebody whose job it is to follow the news, you'd think you'd pay attention to it and absorb some of it sometimes, instead of just analyzing it, trying to find a way to exploit it to your own advantage. All of these people, MSNBC, the president speaks, they go right to Rachel Maddow giving a monologue about how the president is full of shit. They go to CNN. CNN, surprisingly, was the only network that there was any semblance of news conveyed, any semblance of information conveyed. Now, they immediately went to Fredo Cuomo, which is, of course, a mistake, but it's just his time slot, so he gets it. They did have Sanjay Gupta on there, noted plagiarist, which is fine. He's a plagiarist. I don't trust plagiarists, but he's a doctor. So in that sense, he brought some credibility to it. They also had on David Gregory, former NBC News anchor, who I forget why he was fired. I'm sure it was something stupid. But what the hell does David Gregory bring to the table? What does David Gregory bring to the table in the analysis of the president's speech and the attempted conveyance of medical information? Is he a secret doctor? Did he sneak off someplace? Then they also brought in Jim Acosta. You want to talk about a knuckle dragon, master bait and fool, Jim Acosta. And Jim Acosta said one of the dumbest fucking things you can ever possibly imagine on television last night he's supposed to be a reporter. The guy is nothing close to a reporter. He's a fucking moron. He's supposed to be a reporter. And in his discussion with another guy who's supposed to be a reporter, Fredo, they had this exchange. Now, pay attention, because this is the new mantra of the left. I wish there were some words. I mean, I can swear whatever I want. There are some words that will just piss off everybody. I wish I could say, but let's just say that Jim Acosta and Fredo Cuomo together have a collective IQ somewhere in the neighborhood of the square root of 4. And these two geniuses are having a conversation that is typical amongst the left, but only typical amongst the left in the last 3 days. It is that referring to the place of origin of this virus is somehow racist, somehow xenophobic, somehow monstrous. It's wrong to do. Now, I've gone through the list before of viruses that have been named after the places from whence they sprang. So calling it the Wuhan virus or the Chinese coronavirus is perfectly acceptable. In fact, it was perfectly acceptable to these ass lickers just a month ago. They used it commonplace, and in fact, one could argue that is where it entered the common lexicon, was from unsuspecting public being inflicted with xenophobia from these fucking morons. But what a difference a day makes. What a difference a tweet makes. When Republicans started tweeting the term Wuhan virus or Chinese coronavirus, suddenly they saw again, what's that word? What's the word of the day? An opportunity. An opportunity to label Republicans as racist. So it's as if the last month never happened. And these little pieces of dog shit just wiped it clean. They would never do such a thing. Oh, I have the evidence. I have the proof of them doing it. But we'll get to that after we listen to Jim Acosta be a complete asshole.
The president referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. That I think was interesting because as I was talking to sources earlier this evening, one of the points that the president wanted to make tonight, wanted to get across to Americans, is that this virus did not start here, but that they're dealing with it. Now, why the president would go as far as to describe it as a foreign virus, that is something we'll also be asking questions about. But it should be pointed out that Stephen Miller, who is an immigration hardliner who advises the president, is one of his top domestic policy advisors and speechwriters, was a driving force in writing this speech. And I think it's going to smack, it's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia, to use that kind of term in this speech, Chris.
Calling it a foreign virus is xenophobic, and we're going to have to get to the bottom of why the president called this virus that originated overseas a foreign virus. Attention, Pulitzer, your fucking Idiot of the Year award winner is right here. You can stop the search. I realize every year it's a tough competition, but congratulations to Jim Acosta, the special moron from CNN, who thought that in the aftermath of the president's address to the nation, he should inject himself, much like cheese is injected into hot dogs. What a fucking piece of shit. Honest to God, I don't understand why a network like, look, I get you want to employ him because you think there's a constituency for it, although based on his book sales, there isn't. But you think, well, this is what our audience wants. You got to give the audience what they want. Then stop calling yourself news, okay? Keep Jim Acosta on the payroll. Just don't have him labeled as a reporter anymore. He doesn't report. He is not reporting. But they do it. And he's out there. Well, the real important message here today is to note that Stephen Miller, who doesn't like immigration, is out there talking about the fact that this virus originated overseas. You see, that's the problem here, and we'll get to the bottom of why they decided to point out this obvious fucking fact, you idiot. Well, these morons, I love how just in the last few days, ever since Kevin McCarthy tweeted out that it was the Wuhan virus, they said, oh my God, labeling it. And well, that's going to cause xenophobia. That's going to cause racism against Chinese people. That's going to cause all sorts of problems. We can't have this. We must protect the children. Oh my goodness, what could possibly be going on? Why would they be doing this? This is so mean and so racist. Well, let's get into the Wayback Machine, shall we? Over the last month, now this is just a small sample because I can't do the entire fucking show of these morons and their clips calling it either the Wuhan virus or the Chinese coronavirus, but here's just a small sample of these very same fucking morons on CNN and MSNBC. You'll recognize a lot of these voices using the word, the terms that they now have decreed from on high, a high horse, to be racist and xenophobic. Here they are using those very same words.
The Wuhan coronavirus has now surpassed the 2003 SARS outbreak.
The first U.S. case of Chinese coronavirus was confirmed at one of her hospitals.
Inside that building is the world's first lab-grown copy of the Wuhan coronavirus outside mainland China.
The Chinese coronavirus death toll has jumped to at least 26 people.
The death toll from the Wuhan coronavirus spiked today.
The Chinese virus, the coronavirus that is worrying the whole world.
This comes as the Chinese coronavirus death toll has jumped to at least 26 people and sickened at least 835 people.
Most of these people are too fucking stupid to realize that they've been saying this the whole time. Why? Because they're literally the dumbest people on the planet. So now some liberal sees a Republican say it and they go, wait a second, we can make hay out of this thing. Ilhan Omar's viruses don't have nationalities. This is racist when Kevin McCarthy tweeted about the China coronavirus. This is a sickness. These people would be ecstatic to have half the population of the planet die because that would mean that there would be less CO2 emitted into the air. Of course, while progressives would love to see half the planet die, they want to be the ones to get to pick and choose. They don't want nature to have a say in it. They're sick fucks. There's no other way to put it. And yes, I realize I'm overusing that word, but I'm using it appropriately each and every single fucking time. These people are evil hypocrites. These people are monsters. They need to be exposed and they need to be crushed. They need to be politically destroyed. There is something wrong with these people. A piece in the Times of London the other day, coronavirus can trigger a new industrial revolution. Don't take this the wrong way, but if you were a younger, hardline environmentalist looking for the ultimate weapon against climate change, you could hardly design anything better than coronavirus. Unlike most other such diseases, it kills mostly the old, who, let's face it, are more likely to be climate skeptics. It spares the young. Most of all, it stymies the forces that have been generating greenhouse gases for decades. Deadly enough to be terrify, containable enough that aggressive quarantine measures can prevent it from spreading. The rational response for any country determined to prevent loss of life is to follow China's lead and lock down their economy to stem its spread. Don't you love it? Hey, you know what? There's a silver lining to this thing. People are now. I was mocking, but this guy Ed Conway wrote those words. The left is perfectly down with this. They're cool with this. They like this. Secretly, deep down, they like this. So you end up with things that, there are many more examples. Let me pull up this one from Vox News. Vox is a horrible website. And there's a reporter there. She's the politics editor, I guess. She says, Laura McGann. In her Twitter bio, it says, I'd like to escape to the country. Well, go. How about you escape to another country? Can you do us that favor? She tweeted out, this is the worst moment to pull this. And she put out a link to her piece. Now, what piece did she write? What sort of stupid shit did she write? Her headline, Trump's coronavirus speech was laced with xenophobia. Again, they have all of this chambered. Do you notice how suddenly, just 3 days ago, this crap didn't exist, but now it does. The hive mind at work. This moron, Laura McGann, writes, Americans generally expect that when regularly scheduled programming is interrupted to cut to the president sitting in the Oval Office, they will hear an important, sober, and universal message. A message almost always of unity, often a call for shared responsibility and even sacrifice. President Trump used his powerful symbol of his office to attempt to divide us. Where? Fucking bitch. Seated behind the desk in the White House Wednesday, Trump looked into the camera and warned Americans of an enemy who has infiltrated our borders. We are at war, he said, with a, quote, foreign virus. Now, the only thing in this entire thing that I've read so far in quotations are foreign virus, those two words. President said nothing else. She is imposing her own belief system on everything else. It's a tactic meant to distract from what his administration has and hasn't done, in this case, to combat the coronavirus pandemic. The pandemic, of course, isn't a spy. It's not an infiltrator. It's a health crisis that's been long predicted. The way we'll fight it is through mechanisms like social distancing, a technique that requires clear, direct information so everyone knows it's important to participate and how to do so. It's a shared responsibility. We are in this together. That's not the language of the Trump era. The Trump rode into office in a message of division, of fear and hate and xenophobia. He announced his campaign, blah, 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 smearing Mexicans and that old, same old, stale bullshit. She just goes on and on. She quotes some guy named Lawrence Gostin. She puts his tweet in her piece. Lawrence Gostin tweeted, Trump plans travel restrictions to Europe. State Department level 3 warning. How enforced? Quarantine returning citizens? POTUS conflates closed border and COVID-19 response. To be clear, germs don't respect borders. Most of Europe has equal or less than cases than U.S. Travel bans won't make us safer. They bitched when he closed when he put Chinese travel restrictions on back in January. Then they bitched that he didn't do it soon enough once it was discovered that it was already here. Now they're bitching that this won't make a difference. Germs don't respect borders. Yeah, but if you're put into quarantine for 14 days, it does. It will. See how that works? See, oh yes, most European countries have less than the... Yeah, most of European countries are the size of most fucking states. So it would be safe to assume that they would have fewer cases than us. If your population of your whole fucking country is 5 million people, I'm pretty sure you would have fewer cases than a country with 330 million people. You genius. But, and this was a common thing spread throughout social media from the left, how does this help anybody? What does this do? How does banning travel to Europe, what does that do? Okay, I'll tell you exactly why that's stupid in a second, but first, we've got a second sponsor today, and it is Hydrant. Hydrant is flavored electrolyte packets you mix directly into water to make hydrating your body easy and delicious. They sent me a sample pack. I particularly like the grapefruit ones. It's like a nice pink grapefruit flavor. It's just a hint of flavor. It's not overwhelming, although it depends on how much water you mix it with. Did you know that 75% of us are walking around every day chronically dehydrated? We are suffering needlessly from frequent headaches, energy slumps, and poor focus. It doesn't have to be this way. You want to kick the coffee habit, but you're worried about your energy levels. Coffee's gross, too. To avoid the morning sluggishness and that midday slump, you need to make sure you're hydrated. That's where Hydrant comes in. Each rapid hydration mix has 4 essential electrolytes for your body's needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. They help you hydrate quickly and stay hydrated all day. And Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist to provide perfect, balanced, efficient hydration. There's no synthetic colors or artificial sweeteners, nothing. The formula is vegan, if that matters to you, and you can choose between 3 different flavors or a variety pack. I recommend the variety pack. Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you can save even more with a monthly description. That's all up to you. Now, what's even best is if you try this out on my recommendation, and I recommend you try this out because it's quite tasty. For 25% off your first order, go to drinkhydrant.com and enter promo code CALLER. Caller, that's right, C-A-L-L-E-R, at checkout. Click apply, you get 25% off your first order. You won't regret it. It just spices up that boring, flavorless water. Every once in a while, you just throw a packet in there and you go, hey, wait a second, this is pretty good. So that's Drink Hydrant, DrinkHydrant.com. Enter promo code CALLER for 25% off your first order. DrinkHydrant.com. Enter promo code CALLER. You get 25% off your first order, and you'll like this stuff. You really will. There's all these little mixes and things in the store. They're garbage. They're crap. Like, oh, this fake lemonade, and it's just so fake and overpowering. No, Hydrant has really nice, tasty, subtle flavors that you can add to spice up your water. Plus, there's a health benefit to there, too. Helps you hydrate better. DrinkHydrant.com. Promo code CALLER. We have coronavirus here. Yeah, good job. Good point. Way to point that out. Congratulations. Susan Glasser, who writes for The New Yorker, tweeted this out. I'll just use her as an example. Serious question here. Does the president actually believe the foreign virus can be stopped from outside the country when it's already here? Oh, so once you say, hey, we've got coronavirus, so fuck it. Let everybody in. Come on in. No need to screen anybody. I mean, it's already here. What's the problem? come on in. Everybody come in. Or do you say, hey, we're going to try and manage the situation we have by, and not make it artificially worse by importing more of that problem that we're trying to contain here? What a novel fucking idea. And then there were a bunch of geniuses out there, a whole bunch of never-Trumpers and things like Jonah Goldberg. What good does a travel ban from Europe do if the UK is exempted? Well, last I checked, the UK is still in Europe. Yeah, it is from Europe. But people from the UK have removed themselves from the European Union. That means suddenly there's a border again with the UK and the rest of Europe. Whereas if you are from an impacted area of Italy, you can hop in your little Fiat or whatever the fuck you people drive and drive to France and hop on a plane in Paris and say, no, man, I'm from Italy, but I wasn't even in Italy during the outbreak. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm going to New York and get off a plane there. Well, we can stop that from happening. Because there are no borders over there for European Union members. They can just zip around. It's real convenient when things are good. It's real inconvenient when things are bad. So things are bad right now. We have to, since you guys don't have any borders, and that's fine, that's your choice, we're going to enforce ours. We're not going to let you come over here willy-nilly. So if you are from the European Union, you can't come to a Customs and Border Patrol agent in New York and say, well, no, I haven't been in Italy in 6 months. I've been living in Paris. Well, we have no way to disprove that. So it's better and easier to just say no. No across the board. That's what difference it makes. And you don't import more people. Hey, we've got plenty of people in this country with AIDS. So fuck it. Let everybody in the world with AIDS come to this country because we've already got it here. Or do you say, you know what, we're going to take care of Americans first with AIDS, and then, you know, we can help out other countries as needed. If any disease, you name any disease, we've got people in this country with it, and we don't need to import more. We need to deal with the people who are here with it. What a novel fucking idea. But this is the modern left. This is who these fucking morons are. And Jim Acosta, the one who said that president's words smack of xenophobia, getting the Wayback Machine just for that moron himself back to January 23rd, 2020. One would think that Jim Acosta would remember this, but perhaps he was too busy masturbating to a picture of himself masturbating to remember. He tweeted on the 23rd of January, quote, CNN International, authorities in Beijing have canceled all large-scale Chinese New Year celebrations in an effort to contain the growing spread of Wuhan coronavirus. Yes, Wuhan coronavirus, that foreign fucking virus that Jim Acosta says saying these things is xenophobic, and that Vox News has declared to be xenophobic and horrible and really worsening the problem. Can you imagine your word choice is worsening the problem? Back to Vox News. She concludes her piece. Medical experts reacted critically to Trump's ban by pointing out that it ignores work that really needs to be done, such as testing to assess the full scale of the crisis and mass communication with the public about how to prevent the spread. He was pretty unambiguous about how to prevent the spread. Everybody knows how to prevent the spread. If you don't know how to prevent the spread, you have been contaminating people with all the food you've given them over your life because you don't wash your fucking hands. And you cough all over everything. Trump did tell Americans to cover their mouths and noses when they cough or sneeze. He did finally say it was best to stay at home if you are sick, but his message wasn't the sober, direct statement Americans might expect from the president in the Oval Office. More worrisome, maybe a xenophobic speech designed to distract from what we actually should have expected. What a piece of shit. This is who the left is. Now, remember, these are the people who run around and say, well, we're not politicizing this. We would never politicize this situation. This situation is horrible. My God, what kind of monster would politicize this? You little fucks. You're the ones who would politicize this. And when karma comes back to bite you in the ass, it's going to take off everything you got from the waist down. You deserve much worse. This is sick. People are scared. They're scared because of people like this and because people in the lies that are being told by the media, the bullshit that is being spread regularly, and then it's followed up right by these liberal activists going, you can't talk about this like this. You can't talk about it like that. You can't say these words. How about these words? Can we still say these words? Fuck you. Hmm? These people deserve every bad thing that happens to them in life, and it will still not be enough to make up for the damage they are doing to human beings, to the damage they're trying to do to this country. And God forbid, if they ever get elected and get full power in this country, the irreversible damage they will do to this country. They are evil. They are more dangerous than coronavirus. They are more dangerous than Ebola. These fuckers are a special kind of sick. There is a nice, reserved, first-class area in hell for people like this. This is who they are. This is who the modern left is. Don't ever, ever forget it, and don't let your friends forget it. Don't forget what they tried to do here. The Democrats are pushing this bill in the House of Representatives, their emergency coronavirus thing that just so happens to dovetail again, like I said, with all of their social justice warrior plans and programs in the past. Members have been briefed on an outline of it. Only Democratic members, because Nancy Pelosi says fuck you to anybody who's not a Democrat. So only Democrats have been briefed on an outline of the bill. The language is still being written, even though they're expected to vote this week. You see, you never let a good crisis go to waste. Never let a good crisis go to waste. I guarantee you this thing is going to be wildly expensive. And Democrats will then, if it becomes law or any part of it becomes law, will sit and bitch and moan about, look at what Donald Trump did to the deficit. Well, yeah, he signed your bill. That was his first mistake. But I also guarantee you that since nobody has read this and since nobody will have time to read this between the time the ink dries on the paper and they vote on it, it will be larded up with so much bullshit that has absolutely nothing to do with coronavirus. Right now, Democrats are hard at the prospect of running to the Speaker's office saying, hey, you know, can we? I've always wanted to get this swimming pool built in my community. I always wanted to do this or my constituents. And it'll be payoff upon payoff upon payoff to every special interest group, because they know if they slap the right name on it, the Coronavirus Emergency Containment Act or some bullshit like that, it'll probably be better than that. They'll have focus grouped it. They'll name it that. They know that if the Senate doesn't pass it, they will get a week of nonstop media coverage about how Republicans in the Senate are blocking the United States from effectively addressing coronavirus. This is an outrage. It should not be allowed to stand. It's day 7 since Republicans have refused to act on the Coronavirus Cure Act. That's probably what they'll call it. It's the Cure for Coronavirus Act. Republicans are refusing to vote for a cure for coronavirus today. It's day 8 in the standoff with Democrats. Republicans aren't much better. They will lard things up, but they don't hold a candle to what these damn fuckers do. I just guarantee it. I have been pretty good at predictions lately. This one, I'm taking to the bank. I guarantee you this will be larded up with bullshit, and the Democrats will bitch and moan as soon as anybody puts it out. Look, this is too serious. This is too serious a moment to get bogged down in the weeds. We need to act now and think later. We have to pass the bill so we can find out what is in it. There's a reason they write this shit in the middle of the night and don't let anybody read it first. Because they don't want people to know what's in it. It's not the members. They can count on the members. The Democratic drones will just go, yeah, we need to vote for it. They probably all will have stuck their lard into it. They don't want the public to know what they're doing under the guise of an emergency. They're taking care of their friends, their donors, their supporters. This is an opportunity, and Democrats never let an opportunity go to waste. Watch it. Bank on it. The NBA announced, well, actually, I have some audio here. This is, you know, if you're not a fan of the NBA, I'm not a fan of the NBA, so I don't care that they've suspended the season, but they've suspended the season for a very specific reason. And that I do care about, because this is stupid on behalf of this player. I'll explain that coming up, but I want to play this clip. It's about 2 minutes long. And it was kind of stark, this ESPN breaking news when they broke into their live coverage of another basketball game to announce that the game that the Jazz, the Utah Jazz, had been abruptly canceled, like literally moments before tip-off. Listen to this breaking news from ESPN last night.
We'll get back to the second quarter of our game in just a moment. I'm Scott Van Pelt. Some breaking news out of Oklahoma City. The game between the Thunder and the Jazz has just been postponed. We will bring in Royce Young in just a moment. Want to show you the scene as the situation, frankly, feels like it's deteriorating right before our eyes across the country. The Jazz and Thunder on the floor getting ready to play, and both teams pulled off the floor. Rudy Gobert was one of several players for the Jazz ruled out with illness. The officials were on the headsets. They then left the floor. There was a period of time where, frankly, I think that nobody in the building knew for certain what was going on. There were some of the halftime entertainment on the floor trying to just, I guess, stall for time to figure out what's going to happen. And now the game's been postponed. Royce Young joins us now. And, Royce, I realize you've been in the tunnel there and not boots on the ground, so to speak, in the last few moments. But what led up to that from your eyeballs? What did you see?
Literally seconds, Scott, before tip-off. Refs had the ball in their hands. All 10 players were on the court. The ball was about to go up. And the Thunder's head medical doctor, Donnie Strack, came sprinting out onto the court, called all three referees together, and told them something. And they all had a conference right there on the court for a matter of minutes. At that point, the referees then called both head coaches, Quinn Snyder, Billy Donovan, over, talked to them. There was players. Chris Paul came over. Joe Ingles came over, asking what's going on. Everybody's wondering what's going on. And then they eventually told all the players to go back to their locker rooms. And as the players left, they were waving at fans. So it was kind of apparent at that moment that the game might have been called. The Thunder PA announcer came on and said that they were waiting on confirmation from the league to start the game. I heard official Ben Taylor lean over and tell the PA guy that they were waiting from the league for a clearance to start the game, but he himself didn't know exactly what was going on. The belief, Scott, is that it is related to the illnesses of the players involved in this game, and the league could not confirm whether or not they could start the game because of that.
What happened was a player for the Jazz, a guy named Rudy Gobert, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I honestly do not follow basketball at all, but a guy named Rudy Gobert, I don't know if he's any good or not, tested positive for coronavirus. He apparently wasn't in the facility, but obviously he's been in close contact with his teammates, so they canceled the game. They didn't actually ever come out and do it, and the NBA announced that they would be suspending the rest of their season, at least for now. For how long? Who knows? But it was a really big deal because earlier the NBA had announced that they would start playing games with no fans. And the March Madness tournament, the college tournament, I don't know if that's still going on, but they have announced that they will not have fans at their games. It's going to be essential personnel and family members of the players and coaches, I assume, only. It's going to make really interesting because half of the excitement that people love about March Madness is the atmosphere, the excitement of the fans. And college, you know, bars everywhere are usually packed with people watching. I don't understand college pride, school pride. I've never had school pride. I went to the school I went to. I don't care about it. If they went out of business, I couldn't care less. And that's why I get a kick out of every time that they send me a alumni fundraising letter. It's like, yeah, I don't want to get taken off their list because they want to cost them the postage to send it to me. Because screw them. Well, this is the swearing show. Because fuck them, that's why. But it turns out that Rudy Gobert, just 2 days ago at a press conference, now there's video of this, but it doesn't translate to audio because all he's doing is stretching and you hear him sort of grunt. He gets up from the press conference, and he had been joking about the coronavirus. Then he walks away, walks back over, and rubs his hands all over all of the television station and radio stations microphones as kind of a punctuation to his joke. And then 2 days later, he tested positive for it. And there's a high probability that he was contagious at the time. Just sick. The North Jersey, whatever the hell the newspaper is called, it's northjersey.com. It's part of the Gannett family of newspapers. They have the story on Monday. Jazz forward Rudy Gobert tried to make light of growing coronavirus concerns across the country. Now the NBA is suspending the season because he has the virus. Shortly after news of Gobert's diagnosis became public, video started circulating around social media of Gobert rubbing his hands all over several microphones during a press conference. This wasn't mindless touching of microphones during a press conference. Gobert clearly stops before leaving the room, making a point of touching all the microphones and laughing as he jogged out of the room. Now every reporter who touched those microphones should be tested for the virus, as will every player who took the court with Gobert. It's no wonder why the NBA postponed Thursday night's Jazz Thunder game when Gobert was experiencing symptoms, then quickly followed by suspending the season when the test came back positive. Again, there's the simple rule in life. It's the golden rule. I'm not against making jokes, but I'm against being an asshole. Just don't be an asshole. There you go. There's your golden rule. Don't be an asshole. In every situation, you are presented with one of several choices. You have to choose one. And most of them are not being an asshole. But there is a distinct path or two from where you currently are that leads straight to being an asshole. Don't take those paths. Don't make those choices. But some people just do. Some people just do. You see people coughing deliberately, not covering their mouths. Video of it circulating on social media of people on public transportation jokingly cough. Don't do that. Do you not understand why that might upset people, especially people who are elderly or people who have elderly parents that they love very much and would like to go and visit? Maybe they need to go and visit to make sure that they have all the necessities that they need so they don't have to go out to the store. And you're coughing around, whether you're joking or whether you're seriously coughing. You're not coughing into your hand. You're not coughing into your elbow. You're coughing into the air because you think it's funny. You can see why people might not like that. Because if you come down, if somebody comes down who's taking care of an elderly parent or has a job that takes care of elderly people, now suddenly they have to worry. Are they a walking petri dish? Are they going to get other people sick? And worst of all, something they would have difficulty living with, but you, your hilarious ass, wouldn't. Are they going to directly cause, not be responsible for, but cause somebody's death? So if you do that, don't be surprised if somebody comes over and beats the living shit out of you. And don't be surprised if the rest of the people around them and around you laugh hysterically and cheer along as they do it. It's pretty simple. Don't laminate yourself, but don't be an asshole, okay? We can live quite nicely somewhere in between. Wash your damn hands, take a shower, keep your distance from other people that you don't know, especially if they look like they might be sick or they're exhibiting signs of being sick. Just stay a few feet back. Don't hug, don't shake hands. There's no reason to shake hands. If that stops the spread of this or helps hinder the spread of this, there you go. I went through all of CPAC. I don't think I shook one single hand. Now, I held everybody there mostly in contempt for various reasons. No, I'm just kidding, mostly. But I, you know, a fist bump or an elbow bump and just said, no, I'm not shaking your hand. I'm not terrified of this thing, but I'm also not stupid. I'm not going to go gallivanting around where people are infected simply because I don't want to tempt fate. While it's highly unlikely that I would die from coronavirus, it's possible. And it's also possible and probable that if I got it or my wife got it, that we would transmit it to our children. And I don't want to do that. So if that means I'm not going to shake hands, then I'm not going to shake hands. It's a pretty simple trade-off and fair and one that everybody should adhere to. Wash your fucking hands. worry less about buying toilet paper and wash your hands. And by the way, if you weren't washing your hands before, you should wash your hands every time you do something that requires you to use toilet paper, okay? The best thing comes out of this is that people learn the importance of washing their fucking hands, then good. It'll almost be worth the trade-off. But this being an asshole thing, either being a liberal asshole in the media, lying to people, just throwing around willy-nilly charges of racism because you see an opportunity to throw around willy-nilly charges of racism, you deserve to be kicked in the balls by an NFL field goal kicker lining up for a 70-yard shot. That's what you deserve in life. And the sooner it happens to you and the more often it happens to you, the better. No, the president is trying to drive us apart. The president is trying to divide us. He and his supporters are racists. That doesn't sound like a message of unity to me. Yeah, the president is using language unbecoming of a world leader, unbecoming anybody on television. How dare he? It's so xenophobic. Oh, here's a whole bunch of liberal journalists doing the same fucking thing. Maybe that's where he got it from. No, that's different because they weren't woke yet. This wasn't added to the list of banned words until a Republican, Kevin McCarthy, tweeted it a couple of days ago. Now they all know and have corrected themselves. These sick fuckers. They really are. You're watching the liberals expose themselves. I just don't know that it won't be lost in the panic that they are inciting, because it really is just completely messed up. And also, news broke yesterday that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have the coronavirus. This is got a lot of people very upset, even as of right now and probably into this morning. The number one trending topic on Twitter in the world is Tom Hanks, because Tom Hanks came down with it. Suddenly it's very serious and everybody's very concerned. How about I'm as concerned for Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson's health as I am for everybody with coronavirus? Why is it when a celebrity gets something, suddenly it's like, oh, shit just got real. Oh, man, it just got, now I care. You can't, you know, what's going to happen to Forrest Gump? Well, probably nothing. Hopefully nothing. I hope he recovers quickly and his wife recovers quickly and all is well. But he's not any more special or tragic or anything else than anybody else who contracts coronavirus. Can we give it some perspective? Maybe his infection will help raise awareness, and from that sense, it will be a good thing. But in general, they aren't special, these celebrities. They're human beings. And just because you feel like you know them, I guarantee you don't know them. I guarantee you, if you walked up to Tom Hanks, you would know him, and you'd know his kids, and you'd know his wife. Say, hey, Tom, how's little what's-his-fuck doing? Your son, and hey, how's... And he'd go, who the hell are you? Why are you talking to me about this? He and his wife released on Instagram a statement with a picture of a garbage can lined with biohazard waste and a rubber glove in it. Says, hello, folks. Rita and I are down here in Australia. We felt a bit tired. We had colds and some body aches. Rita had some chills that came and went. Slight fevers, too. To play things right, as is needed in the world right now, we were tested for the coronavirus and we were found to be positive. Well, now what to do next? The medical officials have protocols that must be followed. We Hanks will be tested, observed, and isolated for as long as public health and safety requires. Not much more to it than a one-day-at-a-time approach, no? We'll keep the world posted and updated. Take care of yourselves. Signed, Hanks. That's the way to handle it. There's no panic in there. There's no paranoia in there. There is act responsibly. It is. Here's how you deal with it. It is. Here's what you do. Just because he's famous, maybe it'll take somebody famous getting this thing and recovering from this thing for people to finally stop hoarding toilet paper, stop hoarding bottled water, stop acting like paranoid freaks and trying to rip everybody and everything off. I don't know. In other news, and, you know, I wish everybody with it. I don't want anybody sick. But, you know, I'm not going to care more about a celebrity being sick than I am anybody else getting sick. I care. That's it. I have my caring isn't a dimmer switch. My caring is a toggle switch. It's either on or it's off. It's on. Okay. So there you go. I don't want the NBA guy who was an asshole to be sick. I don't want Tom Hanks to be sick. I don't want some random person I'll never know existed in Washington State nursing homes to be sick. It's that simple. If you operate from that point of view and you are interested in preventing as much of that as possible going forward, you will look at this left-wing epidemic of media asshattery and, I don't know, I just don't know. You reject it. Not only reject it, but fight it. These people live in an insulated world where being an asshole is rewarded. They're making millions of dollars a year. Jim Acosta is making more money than you or I ever will, being a complete asshat. That's why he's an asshole every day, because that's his job description. That's what got him where he is. That's what keeps him where he is. He is rewarded for it. So realistically, Jim Acosta isn't the problem. It's the people who pay Jim Acosta. It's CNN and the guy who runs CNN and the parent company that owns CNN, who don't step in and say, what the fuck is this shit? Knock it. You're a goddamn reporter. Knock it off or get out. That's what needs to happen. That's not what's going to happen. Jim Acosta will still get to hammer big fat checks because he's an asshole, and he'll get asshole checks. Do you write in the subject line, asshole money? Is that what it is? Is that what you do? Because I think Jim Acosta at this point, that would turn him on. That would excite him. That's what he wants. He knows what it is. You can't be an asshole like he is and not get off on it. Not think it's, you know, kind of cool. Oh, I piss off all the right people. Which just lets you know how disgusting a human being and how not a reporter he is. So congratulations to him. In other news, Ilhan Omar, remember him? Remember Ilhan Omar, little Ilhan Omar? She got married, so congratulations to her. The third time is the charm. She did not meet this guy at a family reunion, so there's that. She's got that going for her, and good for her. She met this guy as a lobbyist. As a campaign consultant. She married the guy she denied she was dating. Isn't that nice? Tim Minette. She married the guy she denied she is having an affair with. Well, he and her were both married. They haven't been divorced. Neither one of them been divorced all that long. But now they're married. So good for them, I guess. What's curious, though, and what the media will not cover, what no one will really cover, except maybe here, maybe it just doesn't occur to anybody. Remember, Tim Minette and Ilhan Omar were under investigation a little bit. I think there was an ethics complaint filed, but that is kind of toothless. There was kind of a media inquiry that didn't really go anywhere about Tim Minette getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars from Ilhan Omar's campaign funds as a campaign consultant. You see, the word consultant in Washington, D.C. is just code for people give you a lot of fucking money to do whatever it is you do. You don't really do anything important, but the key is to get people on retainer for, you know, as a consultant. And then you just get mailbox money. It shows up, and every couple of months you kind of have to do something. It's such a racket. If people knew how much money was actually thrown around in this town, all you have to do is not have principles. That's where I go wrong. You know, I've had plenty of opportunities to sell or at least rent my soul. I just can't bring myself to do it because I believe in this shit. So I'm a pauper who buys toilet paper at Costco when it's available, and assholes like Tim Minette get hundreds of thousands of dollars from Ilhan Omar, who is not really under risk of losing her reelection because it's an incredibly safe district, and then she marries the guy. Now, what's interesting about this, and what strikes me about this, and what does warrant a serious investigation is what Tim Minette did for those millions of dollars in campaign, or hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign funds from little Ilhan Omar, because she now married the guy. Now, what that does is, here's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now we're married. Guess what I get access to? Those hundreds of thousands of dollars. The mafia is envious of Ilhan Omar's ability to launder that much money that quickly and perfectly legally, by the way. How fucked up is that situation? We're not dating. That's ridiculous. There is no affair. There never was. I would never, ever date this. Oh, yeah, now we're married. I also find it interesting that little Ilhan Omar, who is so quick to scream and cry racism at nonstop every chance you get, married a white guy. So she's no longer single, fellas, which, if history is any guide, means that she's back out on the dating circle as well, because that's apparently how she... Who knew that Islam was so sexually liberating for the ladies? I sure as hell didn't. Speaking of sexually liberating for the ladies, do you remember the name Lee Boyd Malvo? Remember that name ring a bell? He was one of the two D.C. snipers, along with John Allen Muhammad. John Allen Muhammad was executed by the state of Virginia, and good for that. Lee Boyd Malvo was spared execution because he was 17 when he helped kill 10 people and wound 3 others. He should have been... Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't killed in prison. Well, to show how sick humanity is and how maybe we deserve this fucking virus, Lee Boyd Malvo was married the other day while in prison. He's serving a life sentence, but thanks to Virginia's liberal laws, they changed their law, life sentence. If you were under the age of 18, you can be eligible for parole starting after serving 20 years. So he's coming up on 20 years. He was 17 when he went in. He's now 35 years old. So there's a possibility he could be getting out of Virginia prisons. If that happens, however, don't worry. He'll then be shipped over to Maryland, put on their taxpayer dime, and spend the rest of his life rotting there. And I imagine his wife, who they don't identify in this Washington Post story, will then come and visit him there. How fucking sick. How sick is this woman to marry a guy who is part of a serial killer team? And how fucking isolated and depressed and mutant and weird and, I don't know, maybe she should be put in prison. How sociopathic and creepy do you have to be to have no one in your life? So when you start talking about, oh, I started writing a guy, I have a pen pal boyfriend, who's that? Oh, you know, you hit around, and then eventually it comes out, oh, it's the Beltway sniper. Oh, okay. How fucked up is your life, and are you, that you don't have anybody in your life who goes, no, I am going to throw you in a burlap sack and drive you to the West Coast. I'm going to keep you away from this person. You are not going to get involved with the fucking Beltway sniper. To have no one in your life who does that. There's something wrong with you. Maybe they deserve each other. They should be locked in a cell together. That should be, if you want to marry somebody in prison, she'll probably get pregnant. And I'm guessing that you're not really capable of steady, gainful employment. So I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and suggest that she's probably on the public dole. So that means that taxpayers are probably subsidizing her existence. She'll get knocked up because of conjugal visits, and then we'll get the pleasure of paying for this creep's kid for the next 18 years. Why can't we just ban criminals from getting married while in prison? How about that? Especially if they have no chance of ever seeing daylight again. Part of it, it's supposed to be punishment, right? You are going to spend the rest of your life in prison. You murdered people, you asshole. You're going to spend the rest of your... But, I mean, if you can get laid, you can get laid. I mean, we'll hook you up. We'll give you a room for that. But other than that, you are going to be deprived of everything. But you can still... bang the shit out of your wife all you want. Don't worry about that. But that's it. Then right back to your cell. Well, no. How about none of that, huh? How about we take... But, of course, the left would go absolutely... They'd shit a brick if somebody proposed that. The Supreme Court would follow that. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Really? It's cruel and unusual punishment. He murdered somebody. How about we just do it for murderers and rapists? You want to marry them while they're in prison? Knock yourself out. You're never going to be together in a room where you can touch. Okay? That's fair. If that's how you want to live your married life, knock yourself out. But that's it. No, the left would absolutely shit a brick because they care more about the perpetrators than the victims. There are 10 people who won't have kids, or 10 people who had kids who will never see them again, thanks to Lee Boyd Malvo. And now this guy's getting conjugal visits and three hots in a cot. I'm surprised somebody didn't take this piece of shit out in prison. Prisons are nothing like they are portrayed on TV. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Tomorrow I'll be back without the swearing, probably. Just a day. It's just these fucking pieces of shit. You just want to... Anyway, thank you for listening and telling a friend and all that. The website to support the show is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. I'm sure I lost listeners today, even with the warning. I get the emails. You said this and you don't need to say that. I don't need to say any of it. But sometimes, you know, it just feels good. And sometimes there's no better way to really express how fucking disgusted you are by the left. And I don't do it every single day is the miracle. I'll see you tomorrow.
The president referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. It's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia.
The first U.S. case of Chinese coronavirus was confirmed.